Good evening. As always, it is an honor and a privilege to stand before you and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, something that I love to do more than anything in the world. And you've heard me say this before, but I don't know if there's any place on this earth that I'd rather be at 5:15 on a Sunday afternoon than at the Prairie Village Church of Christ. I do thank all of you for being here. I thank our visitors for being here. And our brother Don, we're so thankful that you're able to be with us. And Sharon, same for you, my dear. We know that you, too, are having problems as far as, I know your health is good, but take care of yourself, because I know that you have to take care of Don. And we pray for you and Don. And I thank Charlie for that wonderful prayer. And I thank all of you for the prayers that you pray for me on my behalf and on Jane, who will soon herself will be operated on her knees, both knees, for long. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, in the NASB version, not lagging behind in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And we're going to take most of our lesson from this passage this morning. We'll be coming back several times to this. Now, in the world of sports, we often encounter those who are called bench warmers. On every team and in every sport, every level, these individuals rarely get a chance to play the game. They spend most of their time on the sidelines observing their teammates playing. Unfortunately, the Lord's church also has her share of bench warmers, so-called Christians, who seem to feel that the function of a Christian is to keep a church pew from getting cold. But we can observe a tragic difference between the bench warmers of the sports world and those that infest many local churches. The bench warmer in the realm of sports sits on the bench through no choice of their own. Probably almost every bench warmer in sports wishes the coach would put him in the game, and he would go in immediately if he could. Sadly, though, Christians who only warm the bench do so of their own free will, and our coaches already commanded us to get into the game. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58? You might look with me if you will. Familiar passage to all of us, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, he's talking to Christians here, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Now, a task of fervent zeal in serving the Lord often hampers our efforts to get along in the local church. When church members fail to serve the Lord by being diligently in secular work, they're out of line. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6 as we look how Paul put it. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. Paul says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep aloof from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you receive from us. Lacking an occupation to fill their time, well, what happens? They become busybodies, they become gossips, constantly stirring up discord and stirring up strife. Stay with me and look at verse 11, if you would. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. They often become parasites, constantly depending on the local church to bail them out of some one financial jam after another. And when we fail to be zealously involved in the spiritual work of the Lord, we discourage those who are trying to do their best to do their work to take up the slack that we leave behind as well. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 with me, please. Ephesians 4. Now, the spiritual work or the spiritual growth of the body depends on every member doing his or her part. Verse 16 says, "For whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." So I believe, brethren, I believe it to be appropriate as we strive to learn how to get along with each other that we examine our individual responsibility to be zealously devoted to both the secular and the spiritual work of the Lord. First, we have the prohibition of the bench warmer. The prohibition of the bench. Remember Romans 2 and verse 11 when Paul said, "Not lagging behind in diligence"? Well, Paul makes an interesting play on words here. The word for lagging behind conveys the idea of being slow, whereas the term zeal or diligence originally carries the idea of making haste. Literally, the Apostle Paul is telling us, don't be slow in making haste. Paul is condemning the lazy, lukewarm, the do just enough to get by attitude. Laziness often brings disaster in the affairs of the world. Turn to Proverbs 22. Now, the wise writer of Proverbs stated that being slow in making haste would ruin one's business and ensure poverty. Verse 13, he says, of Proverbs 22, "The sluggard says, 'There is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets.'" And then he goes on to say in Proverbs 10 and verse 26, if you would turn back there for a second, Proverbs 10 and verse 26, he says that it is a constant source of irritation to those who have the misfortune to hire them. He says it is like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him. Christians should be diligent servants of those who employ them, remembering that the Lord is their true master. Turn to Colossians 3 and verse 23. Paul told the Colossians, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men." Colossians 3 and verse 23. Now, if you would, look again with me at Ephesians chapter 6. Now, we should not just work hard when we know that the boss is watching, but all the time because why? The Lord is always watching. He is our true master. Now, verse 6 of Ephesians 6 says, "Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." And certainly, if slothfulness is condemned in matters physical, if being neglected for making haste about our secular business brings disaster, even more to be dreaded are the consequences of a lack of diligence in the spiritual matters. Now let's look at the spiritual bench warmer. The spiritual bench warming. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, if you will. It's a familiar story here. From Revelation 3, verse 14 through 20. 3 verses 14 through 20 of Revelation 3 portrays the results of spiritual bench warming. The Bible says, and remember this is our Lord speaking, verse 14, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, 'I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire that you may become rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and your eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. Those whom I love I reprove and discipline. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. First, brethren, such a lackadaisical attitude is nauseating to the Lord. Look again at verses 15 and 16. He says, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth, he says. That's our Lord Jesus speaking. We must, most of us desire a cold drink on a hot day, don't we? And likewise, we desire a warm drink on a cold day. But the tepid, lukewarm drink is never desirable. The Lord tells us here that the apathetic, the lazy, the bench-warming Christian is good for nothing. Second, lukewarmness can blind individuals to their true spiritual condition. Let's look again at verse 17. Jesus said, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. People who are determined not to be involved in the Lord's business usually wind up equating faithfulness with the bare minimum of service. Usually they say things like this. What do you mean I'm unfaithful? What do you mean I'm unfaithful? Well, I'll have you to know that I was there to take the Lord's Supper at least twice last month. That's what they talk about. That's what they mean when you say they're unfaithful. They don't understand or don't care. And finally, a lack of diligence in serving the Lord locks Jesus out of our lives. Look at verse 20 once more, if you would. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Brethren, this is one of the saddest pictures in the Scriptures. A group of people, once faithful servants of the Lord, a church still wearing the Lord's name, and yet Jesus must knock at their door, hoping that at least one person will hear him knocking and let him back in their lives. Jesus warns us, if we're lazy and neglectful of working for him, we will have all eternity in which to regret our wasted opportunities. Look at how he puts it, if you would, in Matthew 25 and verse 30. Matthew 25 and verse 30. Think about what he's saying here. Jesus says, in Matthew 25 and verse 30, and cast out the worthless slave into outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is the bench-warming Christian. That is the bench-warming Christian. That's scary, isn't it? That's scary words. That's what will happen to the lazy, lukewarm Christian. Then we have the exhortation to get into the game. Remember back in Romans 12 and verse 11 when he said, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord? Well, the word fervent literally means to be hot or to boil. We still describe intense motion in this way when we say something that makes our blood boil. In contrast to the apathetic and the lukewarm laziness he has just condemned, Paul says our love for the Lord, our desire to serve him, ought to bring a burning fire within us, an intense passion that knows no lack of vigor or vitality. Turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 20, one of my favorite books, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 20. Now, a long, long time ago, the prophet Jeremiah described the words of his God as a burning fire within him that the prophet could not contain. Jeremiah had got real despondent. He was ready to quit. He told the Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to quit. I'm not going to work for you anymore. But here's what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. He said, but if I say, I will not remember him or speak any more in his name. Listen now, he says, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in and cannot endure it. Jeremiah tried not to serve the Lord anymore. He didn't want to serve the Lord anymore, but he couldn't because of a burning fire inside of him for God. He had that burning fire that we need. Look at Luke 24 and verse 32. I know you remember this. Talking to Jesus. Remember this. Talking to Jesus lit a fire in the hearts of the brethren from Emmaus. Remember verse 32. They said, and they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures? Their hearts were burning within them. Their hearts were burning. They couldn't stop loving him. They couldn't stop doing enough for him. Let's look together now at Titus 2 and verse 14. Brethren and friends, the Lord died to purchase a people who are on fire for his cause. Remember what Paul said in Titus 2 and verse 14? He said, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. That people is the faithful Christians, not the bench-warming Christians. Jesus and his early followers were no bench warmers. No, they weren't. They were actively involved in the game of life. Jesus knew that the time for him would be limited. Look at John 9, verses 4 and 5. And I want us to listen to his warning. John 9, verses 4 and 5. Jesus says, we must work the works of him that sent me as long as it is day. Now listen, he says, night is coming when no man can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus says, we must work while it's day, for it won't be too long that we're going to die. We must work while it is day. While it is day, for night is coming, brethren. It's coming to all of us. Therefore, brethren and friends, Jesus' work day began early in the morning and often continued until late in the evening, as seen in Mark chapter 1. Look again with me. Mark chapter 1, in verse 32. And when evening had come, after the sun had set, they began bringing him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. Brethren and friends, our time on this earth is limited. It is also limited, so we need to be certain to have our priorities straight. Yes, we do need to work and provide for ourselves and for our families. The scriptures teach that we serve the Lord in doing this. But brethren, when we allow our secular occupation to consume all of our time and energy, we need to be reminded that what is really important is the work we do for eternity. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, if you would, please. Familiar story here, Luke chapter 10, and verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only a few things are necessary, really only one, for Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. Brethren and friends, let me tell you, when we're too busy with the affairs of this life to tend to spiritual business of the Lord, we are indeed too busy. You may remember that Paul had already worked diligently for the Lord before coming to Athens, as well as having endured almost constant opposition from the Jews and others. If ever a man in history deserved a rest break or a vacation, Paul did at this point. But he found no rest in Athens. The brazen idolatry of the city stirred that burning desire within him, and the apostle spoke out fervently for the cause of truth, as seen in Acts 17, chapter verse 16 and 17. Let's look at what he says. Acts 17, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16, now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was beholding the city full of idols. So he was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. Paul never took a break. He never gave up trying to convert people to the Lord. Again, it is not sinful for us to take an occasional break. God provided the Sabbath day for the Jews of old, and on one occasion, Jesus told his disciples to come aside and rest a little. But we need to take care lest the quest for rest and recreation and relaxation becomes our consuming passion that quenches any desire to do the work for the Lord. And there is so much more that needs to be done in serving the Lord than just going to church two or three times a week. The sick need to be visited. The poor need to be cared for. The lost need to be sought. The erring need to be restored. And the faithful need to be encouraged. So you see, all of us, every one of us, can do something. We can do something serving the Lord. Each of us needs to take time to pray and to study our Bibles. We cannot hire a preacher to do that for us, and we can't appoint elders and deacons to be zealous on our behalf. So if we are to avoid trouble in the church, we each must determine to be zealous workers for the Lord. Please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, and let's listen to our Lord Jesus. Luke 17 and verse 10. Listen to this and take heed here, brethren. So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. Just think about what our Lord Jesus told us to do. He says, when you've done everything that you've been commanded to do, say, you're unworthy servants. You've only done that which you ought to have done. You never can get tired of working for the Lord. You can never, ever do too much. And if I have kept the faith, that's the only way to end one's life. I have kept the faith is the only way to end one's life. Whatever charges God places upon us, whatever burdens we have to bear, whatever sacrifices we have to make, we must be able to say in the end, like Paul did, I have kept the faith. How sad it will be for those who cannot honestly and accurately make this statement. And my friends, if you're not a Christian, let us help you to take care of that this evening. I beg you to come forward, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, because He most assuredly is. Confess Jesus as the Son of God and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if there's anyone here this evening who needs the prayers of the church, who have sinned in a way that maybe others know about, maybe you sinned in public. You too need to take care of that. Don't let this night go away without doing that. Don't let this opportunity, this time, go without taking care of it. And then you become a fervent worker for the Lord. If we can help anyone, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.